Alan Kring Productions, in association with Emergent Light Studio, presents the Illinois State Collegiate Compendium, Academic Lectures in Business and Economics. This is Business Finance, FIL 240, Section 2, for Autumn Semester 2017. Lecture 26, delivered on December 7, 2017. The title of this lecture is Review for the Final Exam.
Today, review for the final exam. I would ask you to make sure that your scores are accurately reflected in my finance lab. Now, on After the drop dead deadline on the 9th, I will allocate the first, anything that's not done will get a zero, and then I will drop your three lowest scores in each of the online categories. So that will improve some of your scores. Most of your scores will see a little bit of an improvement from that. So take heart there, and that, unless you've got a lot of blanks, which would become zeros. It doesn't look like that's much of a problem at all. Other than that, make sure that your in-class quiz scores are accurate in my finance lab. And from there, I will be in my office on Monday from noon until 2 for some special office hours. So if you have any last-minute questions or you want to know if my car's on campus so you can slash the tires, I'm going to be there for your questions. Now, final exam. 7 questions, you answer 5 of those questions. 3 of the questions will come from exams 1 and 2. So 1 could be from exam 1, 2 could be from exam 2. Even 3 could be from exam 2, none from exam 1. But I just copy and paste. And if you are looking for what kind of question I would copy and paste to the final, it would be something that was a core objective of the course, not something that was a passing thing. It's going to be something that is important, and also something that possibly you didn't do so well on the first pass, and this is your chance to show that you're, for me at least, to see that you've gotten it by the end of the course. And again, you answer 5 of the 7. Don't answer 7 questions. It is going to be a marathon as it is. Grading 440 essay exams is a lot like work. So you're going to ask me some questions, but I'm going to go through some things. First things first, those questions that I gave you as possibles for exam 1 and 2 during the reviews for those exams, those are on the table as being questions that could show up on the final exam. So in other words, 3 are going to be right from exams 1 and 2, and several will be just from that those question bases that I gave you to study on. Oh, that's also, you can use your first your note cards from the first 2 exams, and you can use one extra one because there was some material after the exam, after the second exam. So that's 3 cards you can have on you. Take your time. You have plenty of time. Get it right. Spell things properly. Do sentences. Don't do lists. All the technical things. You've got plenty of time to do this. Take your time. Stay frosty through it. What was I going to say there? There was another point on that. But choose your questions wisely. Some of these are fairly straightforward. The one sentence ones, there might be 1 or 2 of those. Also, from the last 2 lectures, I will pull a question. Okay. excuse me. I will pull a question from the last 2 lectures on capital structure, an optimal capital structure. So that I can see if you can show me that you've gotten that concept down solidly. Okay, now, go through a few that are going to be important. These are more the conceptual aspect of it. that you should know solidly and you'll get through this exam. First things first, I'm going to find out if you know the difference between accounting and finance in terms of what we consider to be profit, earnings, what we consider to be costs. Show me that you know it. Other major aspects of the course that I would probably hit you with. Make sure that you understand the capital asset pricing model. Now, a cautionary tale was that you were listening to a few people who didn't know the right answers to these kinds of questions, and you got burned. Read your notes, go back to the lectures. They're all online. Listen, and you'll be able to answer something about CAPM. Possibly I'll pass back through and see if you do understand Jensen's alpha and its relationship to capital asset pricing model. Show me that you understand that concept now. Show me that you know the difference between debt and equity. I want you to show me that you understand which one is cheaper and why it is cheaper in general. Now, obviously, one of those is cheaper at first, but then it can become more expensive if you go too far with it in capital structure. But as a general concept, one of them is cheaper, and there are two good reasons why it is cheaper. Not one, there are two reasons why it is less expensive than the other one. Show me that you understand that. But I want you to show me that you understand bonds, bond price dynamics, the relationships between a bond price and its yield, the bond price and the term, and the bond price and the spread between coupon and yield. Most of you got that pretty well on the exam where I asked that, and I might pass back through that again on the final exam. Show me that you understand risk, that it is not a single thing, it is several things, and there are different measures of risk. What are those measures? Which one is more relevant to us? How do we assess projects? How do we know if a project is a go or a no-go? What do we do to find out? How can you create a professional portfolio? Now, as a side note here, several studies have been done over the past 10 years, one or two very recently, where we looked at people who were their own investors. They did everything themselves, and they got some cheapo special place where they could buy and sell their stocks. And we studied their portfolios, and we found out, well, surprise, surprise, they are very poorly designed portfolios. An extraordinary amount of risk that is unnecessary. They are extraordinarily inefficient portfolios. And we know that these people can succeed sometimes in the short run, but when things get nasty, they are going to get wiped out. And that's one of the things that worries me about all these people going with Robin Hood right now. They think they're geniuses and they don't have to do the good things, portfolio diversification, low correlation coefficient, and then when the bad times hit, and they will hit, they get their clocks cleaned and suddenly they're not geniuses anymore. Show me that you're geniuses, that you actually do understand portfolio control, portfolio diversification, portfolio allocation. And how do you do that? I gave you three different ways that you could create a good portfolio, an efficient portfolio. Show me that you understand that. Whether you're a finance major or a major in another discipline of business, you need to know this. And so this is something of a legacy that I'm going to give you, that you can understand this and do it right so you don't become one of those people who's eating cat food after the next crash of the market or whatever. Let me look here. I suppose I could put the final exam up here on the board so you could see it. Yeah, I know, right? How would a finance professional use the CAPM? How do we, what do we do with it? I mean, I wrote that thing on the board. What do you do with the capital asset pricing model as a finance professional? Is it something we just get a tat on our right thigh and say, hey, everybody, look, I know the capital asset pricing model. It's part of me. Or do we actually apply this in the real world? Okay. Show me that you know where this could be used. Okay. Show me. Now, early in the course, I gave you a couple of places where it would probably be useful. When you're doing project evaluation, we have to discount cash flows. How do we get the discount rate? Well, that might be something you might want to think about with respect to the capital asset pricing model. Oh, dear. Okay, now, going back in the course, and I'm just going to cover a few things that are highlights. Go through those questions that I asked, that I gave you for study guides for exams 1 and 2. But along the way, make sure that you understand, first, interest rates. What are the parts of an interest rate? What are its components? What is the base of all interest rates? And then what is that extra premium? What are the three parts of that extra premium? And again, remember, do not write equations. And don't do, I had a couple of people who couldn't get away from the equation, so they answered in words, but they actually wrote the words of the equation. This is this minus this plus this. No, don't do that. Explain to me, what are the parts of an interest rate? What is liquidity? What's the upside of liquidity, and what's the downside of liquidity? You, madam, you have all of your money in your pocket. What's the upside of that? Right. I can go right up to the drive-thru window at Chick-fil-A and say, I want two Chick-fil-A's, extra pickles, and that honey mustard sauce. And they will back away and say, whoa, you got money. I pulled through there a couple of nights ago with my, if you've seen my car, it's got all these Christmas decorations on it. So some of them came out, actually did some kind of selfie in front of my stupid car. What's the downside of having all your money in your pocket? In other things. Well, why would you want to invest it in anything but food? I mean, cheeseburgers and chicken sandwiches, those are the only things that matter. Oh, and cat snackies for my cats. But what do you think? Things. Invest in what? I'm pinning you down. I'll let you off the hook. You, sir, what things would you possibly want to do with money besides spend it? Ah. Oh. You're good. He's good. He's good. Give him a cookie. Wait. Whoa, 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 whoa. Here. A cookie. Okay. Yeah, seriously. There's a cookie for you. Yeah, I don't know where it's been, but. that's just gross. Oh, it had that awful stuff in it, that. What the heck was in that? See, that's the downside, is that you, if you have the money in your pocket, then you're not putting it into long-term investments. Now remember, liquidity, things that are highly liquid pay you hardly any money whatsoever. It, when you put things into long-term projects, that they actually start to have those nice yields. I mean, you can buy a treasury bill. It's a highly liquid instrument, but it pays next to nothing. Or you could put your money into something that is longer term, like a house or something like that, or a nice stock or a bond, a corporate bond, and you get a higher yield, but you wouldn't have your money on you. That's that nasty trade-off between liquidity, which gives you ease of access to the money, and the liquidity, which also means that you are not, you are giving up the opportunity cost of longer-term investments with it. So you, sir, could have come right out of high school and gotten a job. Fast money. Or you can postpone that, postpone the enjoyment of your life, and go to, or what life one would have in your situation. But, I mean, you give up that to go to college, and you postpone that good consumption for better consumption with a degree from this good university. Okay? That's that relationship that's always there. And also, don't ever forget that relationship between risk and return. Nothing in the world is free. If you are going to get expect a higher return, you are going to have to take risk to get it in every aspect of your life. I was driving down this Arab Road this morning, doing the speed limit, and of course, I had these people driving past me like blind trout. They expect a return for bearing the risk of having a policeman catch them. They are going to get to their destination faster. They're going to get to their sad jobs faster and all of that kind of stuff. So they have an expectation of a greater return, and they're willing to bear a risk to get it. This was a good morning. There was a policeman there. And I got to drive, they went by me, and up the road, they were stopped, both of them. He caught them both, and I just not way high. You see, that's the thing, is every aspect of your life carries that relationship. Show me that you understand it. Show me you know. Well, let me be very specific. I went back and talked about this before, but show me that you know how to measure risk. What are your measures of risk? What's the upside? What's the upside of them? What is wrong with some of them? So I gave you a couple of very specific ones. And one is just a general measure of risk, and one is a more finely tuned measure of risk. Show me that you understand the difference between them. Okay? How many more are there? Well, let's point it this way. Okay, risk. Measures of risk. Okay? Now, there are non-quantitative measures of risk. And we cannot pretend that those aren't there. For example, have you ever been to Disney World and gotten on the Tower of Terror? Yeah. I mean, there's no measure of the risk, except for the fact that they take, if you haven't been there, they take you up this tall tower that's completely, there's no light. And then they haul you up, ting, 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 ting. And then at the top, silence, and then they open the doors. You know what I saw? I saw the curvature of the earth. And then I saw smiling dead relatives. And then they dropped you. some doors they'd open and close and open and close. And then the final insult of it all was that they show you a picture of yourself as you're walking out. They show, my chops were up here. Okay. The risk was there. I felt it inside me, but I didn't have a measure of it. Okay? It was just, I have made a terrible, terrible mistake. Did that help me learn? No, because then I did the slingshot. Oh, do not eat before that. But the point is that we do have numeric measures.
Which are the two quantitative measures?
Yeah, there are two that, one is very commonly used all over the place as a general measure of risk, of volatility. It is inadequate for us in finance because it includes risk that we don't need to have, and so we should not expect a return for bearing that risk. So there are two critical ones. Now, again, as I had said, I'm going to give you one or two that are just the quick one-sentence answers. Don't go around the barn five times to get to the outhouse. Just say the answer. And follow the guides that I gave you after the exams when we reviewed them. I said, here's what you should have answered. Do that. Don't be creative. For heaven's sakes, we're business people. We can't be creative in our business lives. It's your turn. Ask me questions. If it's going to be there, if it's not going to be there, I'm going to say, no, I'm not going to ask that. Okay? If it is, some of the reviews. What am I looking for? I'm always looking for a positive Jensen's Alpha. But
what answer are you looking for?
Okay, I am looking for you to show me that you know the difference between a portfolio's performance on the capital market line and a portfolio that performs with a positive or negative Jensen's Alpha. In other words, what I am looking for is for you to show me that you understand that the security market line. The security market line gives you the expected return to a security according to the capital asset pricing model. Occasionally, we will see something that is performing for its beta other than what we expect it to. Okay, the first thing you always ask is, where is the capital market line, and what is the expected return to this portfolio or security based upon its beta? What do we expect? Now, what do we see happen? They should be quite close, what we expect and what we actually have happen. Occasionally, we don't see that. What we expect the return to be, given the beta of the portfolio or security, is not what actually occurs. And I want you to show me that you know the difference between what we... You're walking through a field at night. There are cows around. Moo. Moo. You go to the other side. What do we expect? We expect that you had a pleasant experience. You benefited from it mildly, except for the cow patty that you stepped in. That's what we expect. Okay, now, an alien mothership comes and takes you up into the alien mothership with cows. Ooh. They eject you because they are cow aliens and you were not what they were expecting. So they spit you back out. Now, when you go home, you tell your friend, this is not what I expected. Okay? What I expected was a pleasant journey. What I got was moo, doot, 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 doot. That's Jensen's Alpha. I have no idea. That one just...
You stretched that one a little bit.
I try, okay? Don't judge me. Other questions? okay? Now, again, make sure that your scores are correct in My Finance Lab. I'm going to have you do a student evaluation. Don't run out of here. I want you to get it done so you can have your vengeance upon me. I'm going to need a couple of volunteers. Actually, I'm going to need four volunteers, and I'm going to put you four come up here. You're going to give these out, and then you're going to collect them from the people. Oh, don't. No, no. And then take, don't go there. Then take them up to the finance department and give them to the secretary. Fourth floor, clear at the top of the stairs. Now, you're my students, and you can come back to my office anytime. I want to know how you're doing, where you've been, are you eating properly? But for now, that's all I have for you for the rest of forever. I thank you. Elvis has left the building.